The Flight Show is a proud member of the Blueberry Network. You can find this podcast and many more at blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's. On this episode of The Flight Show, number 63A, an interview with Rebecca Ney of TrainingWreckRadio.com. We talk about Portland, transgendered issues, Mormonism, Army, and are you a Carson 5? Find out. This and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Tab for my diet. We all know that is from Edith Massey's line from Has Cuddles and not pink flamingos, polyester. It's a wonderful film. Let's see. I'm Kenty. Jose is taking a nap right in the room here. And this is the Flatus Show you're listening to. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE. That is a toll call, possibly for some people. That's it. It's in Washington. It's courtesy of K7.net. And you can reach me at theflatusshow.com. That's my website. And that's kenty@theflatusshow.com is the email. You can find all that information at my website in the show notes. Let's see here. I was looking at my, download information, which is really crappy because of the company I have my host my website. Oh, cripe. What the hell's that? And my shoe. Did that poop? Oh. Anyway, sorry about that. But Haifa Israel, it downloaded an episode. And actually, I found some other pieces from Thailand and all over the place. Australia, China. So I have a worldwide audience. Isn't that great? So, you know, I wanted to hear from some of my listeners in Haifa and China and Thailand and everything. You know, I don't see anything, don't see any downloads from traditional foreign countries like Germany or France. Can you hold on for a second? I want to get some air in here. It's very hot. It's September. It's New England. It feels like fucking Florida in July. So anyway. Okay, where are we at? Okay, well, this past weekend, I made jelly. Last week, I harvested grapes from our yard. We have a grapevine. And I made the juice last week. And I made the jelly this week. I have 36 8-ounce jars of jelly. And I actually have some more juice to make some more. So I'll do that next weekend because it's tiring. Tiring. And I talk about it, how to make it in a pot. I did a walk last night and I did a little podcast, which I'll put up later this week. That's why I've been doing this. I'll be sending jelly out to some people. Let's see here. What else do we have? Oh, yes. I wanted to mention a podcast, Podaholics, Josh Wallen of Podaholics. He was on our What I Believe podcast. Big C and I have a podcast called What I Believe Podcast.com or podcast. And he was on it, and we talked about comics and games and stuff. I really don't know too much about comics or comics of today. I mean, when I was a kid, I read Richie Rich and, you know, stuff like that. So he talked about comics, and I found out, he recommended a comic called The Boys, which is very good. There's two comics out. I don't know what you call it. Two issues. So you can start right from the beginning. Who knows how long it will go on. But they're famous and important comic book people. Ennis somebody or other. Listen to Podaholics. Josh Wallen's podcast for more information about that. It's a very interesting show. He has two shows. One is a music show, and one is a comic books, and they talk about pop culture and stuff. So, and they do it twice a week. Him and the other guy, which I don't know his name. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference. Just go and find Podaholics, Podaholics. And, yeah, I'm part of the Blueberry Network, which I have been, which you probably heard in the beginning. But, yeah, I've started to join a network. Maybe I can generate some, if I get some more listeners, I can generate some cash flow to help pay for it. But I don't want to get too attached to any kind of income. I just want enough to offset some of the cost. I don't mind spending some of it. I don't mind it. I don't mind that it's a losing venture. It'd be nice to have more listeners and more feedback because, you know, you want to meet people and everything. And the cash portion that I would hope to earn is really nothing more than to help pay for some of my costs. I don't go through... I could probably find a free way to do it, but I'm already ingrained in my website and everything, so I don't want to have to like change things and mid-horse. I don't really understand that stuff to begin with, and I'd probably lose a lot. So I know I could do it for free, and so if you like the show, it's a, you know, it costs me money. So, but you know, don't worry about you, the listener. It's still going to be free for you. I'm trying to find just some sort of advertising or. You know, like Tab. I wish Tab people would give me some money. I bet you they could afford to, you know, pay me $50 a month to do this. I talk about Tab enough, don't I? How do you go about getting a Tab? See, I don't know that stuff. I'm not really into that. So I don't know how to go about asking them. They'll probably be like, "Well, how many listeners do you have, Mr. Steffler?" And then they'll laugh at me. So, but I could say this is that though I might don't have thousands of listeners, my listeners know a good deal when they have it, and they know Tab. It's a wonderful product. So anyway, so that's it. Haifa, Israel has downloaded, and so I'm going to get on with the show. Okay, so. On with the show.
The hour of midnight rings. I'm all alone. While you're in someone else's arms, thinking what might have been. So alone, while you are sharing some other charms, while you're out having fun, I hear the clock striking one, and I'm crying myself. To sleep, wondering who's kissing you. I hear the clock striking two, and I'm crying myself to sleep. I try to close my eyes and make believe we've never been apart, and in my dreams it seems you're calling me sweetheart, wondering where you can be. I hear the clock striking three, and I'm crying myself to sleep. The days I spent with you, they thrill me yet. forget. My days are lonely, at night I pine. While you're out having fun, I hear the clock striking one. And I'm crying myself to sleep, wondering who's kissing you. I hear the clock striking two. And I'm crying myself to sleep. I try to close my eyes and make believe we've never been apart. And in my dreams it seems you're calling me, sweetheart. Wondering where you can be, I hear the clock striking a three, and I'm crying myself to sleep.
I have a ghetto setup, you see. I have to record your part on my iRiver, and then I record my part on my computer, and I put the two together.
Oh, that's, hey, whatever works. Shit.
Yeah. Well, this is wonderful to be able to interview you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. You must have heard some of my shows at all, have you, or?
Yes, yeah. I've listened to several of your shows. I like the ones where you talk about history.
Uh-huh. I'll have to do more of those.
I'm a big history person, especially I listened to one where you talked about Lewis and Clark.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Found that quite interesting, just because I've been living in this area for the past 5 years.
Yeah, I did that, and you know, the two guys, Randy from Two Guys One Brain, also learned a lot from that too. I did a little. He lives in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were mentioning somebody from Vancouver. Does this person have a podcast?
Yeah, the Two Guys One Brain podcast.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Him and his daughter Emma went to the podcaster meetup. They know you. They've seen you.
Oh, they have?
At the
Portland podcast, Two Guys in One Brain. You know what? I probably have met them before. The Portland podcaster meetup has kind of died over the last couple of months.
Oh, really?
I went, I was the only one that showed up last month, and I guess the meeting got canceled and nobody told me. And just last week I went, and it was me and some other guy who had never been there before. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure meeting, but, you know, I'm probably going to take a break from that for a while anyways.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure this is all fascinating to your listeners.
Well, everything's fascinating, I think. Next year I'm going to be out to see them. They're going to he has a place for me to stay. Me and my partner are going to come out. So maybe I'll have a chance to meet you out in the next June when I come out to that area.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Any podcasters that want to come to this area, especially those in the queer podcasting community. Not that I don't want to meet the ones outside, but, you know, definitely. Hopefully next year I'll go to the Podcast Expo. But
I know I wanted to do that this year, too.
But, you know, I've got other priorities right now.
Yes, I know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about lots of interesting things. Let me close the door here. Jose's taking a nap, by the way.
Yeah, my dog won't. She was sitting here licking the back of my hand while I was talking to you.
Aw.
She keeps doing that. I'm going to want to pee. No.
Okay, so what do we know about Rebecca Ney? We know that. Well, I know from your podcast that you're a transgendered woman.
And I'm also a whore.
And a whore, okay. And you were raised a Mormon.
I was raised Mormon.
And were you raised in Utah?
I was raised in Utah.
As a Mormon, okay.
As a Mormon.
And then you were in the Army, I believe.
Army
and,
for 4 years.
And you were in Kansas City, Missouri. Is that right?
And you had a boyfriend. You not only listen, you listen. I'm impressed.
I try. I listen. You know, when I listen to a podcast, when I decide to listen to a podcast, I listen. You know, why else would I be putting into my ear? And that there was a boyfriend you had there who passed away actually recently. Is that true? Is that right?
Yes. He was. You know, I call him a boyfriend and a lover. He was somebody. He was the very first person I ever fell in love with, and it was very brief. It was a very brief time. Back, it was about 10 years ago. It was while I was still in the Army and still very much of the Mormon persuasion. Mm-hmm. And I ended up leaving him to go back to the Mormon church. Well, I lost contact with him about a year or two later. I lost contact with him for good. And I just found out recently, in one which I talked about in one of my podcasts, that it's very likely that he passed away in 2002, I think, or 2003, I can't remember. I have to pull up my blog. It's very likely that he recently passed away, and I'm just looking for information to confirm that so, and find out, you know, what happened to him, because he was only 30 years old. Yeah. So, okay. So that you know, it's kind of bizarre, though, because, you know, The person that I was 10 years ago is quite a stretch from being the person that I am today. So it's like, where do you start?
Lots can happen in 10 years.
Yes.
So, yes. Okay, so you were raised as in a Mormon. What was that like as, you know, when you were growing up as a child? And Did you have any problems with your religion and faith at that time during your, you know, early years, I'll say?
Excuse me, Eris, but you can't have my attention. Dog's trying. The dog is clamoring for my attention. She's like, pay attention to me. Play with me. As a matter of fact, she's attacking my right arm right now. That's enough. To answer your question, early on in my life, you know, I grew up in a Mormon household, but not so Mormon, because there were Jack Mormons.
What's that mean?
Like, kind of equivalent to non-practicing, to most Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? Non-practicing Mormons.
It's like the Easter, Christmas Mormon, sort of.
Yeah, pretty
just,
much.
Just go during high holidays.
Yeah, church was not a common thing when I was very young.
Okay.
My parents divorced when I was 9, and I ended up living with my mom until I was about 15. And then I ended up moving. My mom, we were in central Utah when my parents got divorced, kind of in a very rural setting. I moved to Salt Lake City with my mom until I was 15, and then I moved back to rural Utah to go to high school. And, you know, as with most people, adolescence is when things start to get interesting.
Mm-hmm. So you moved back to rural Utah with your mother?
With my dad.
With your dad, okay.
My mom was in Salt Lake. And she remarried.
Yep.
And my dad is in rural Utah, pretty much central Utah. Richfield is the name of the town. And my dad lives there with, his wife now. My mom, she passed away, last November, which, well, we can talk about a little later.
Okay.
Because
sure.
That was a very much a bitter, sweet experience, if that's possible for that to happen. But, so yeah, anyway, both of them remarried. I lived with my mom from the age of 9 to 15, my mom and my stepdad. And then I went to live with my dad and my stepmom from 15 until I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. You with me so far?
I'm in with you.
Okay.
You're very clear.
Very clear and queer sometimes, depending on my mood.
Okay.
So basically, that's when I started getting involved personally in Mormonism. I started to realize that I was different, that there was, I thought, something wrong with me. At that time, it was focused on my sexual attractions. Because I had sexual attractions towards men, and I wanted to be a girl, you know, both of those, I lumped both of those things together, which is, happens quite a lot in our society.
I can understand that.
And I thought I was gay, you know, so, you know, and I thought that all gay people, gay men, were girly men that wanted to be with other men, mm-hmm. you know, and it, so, you know, I never came out to anybody about it in high school. I mean, rural Utah, fuck that. Is it okay if I cuss on your podcast?
It's fine. You can do that.
Okay. Not sure. I don't ever hear you. you have a lot cleaner mouth than I do, so I wasn't sure.
I have cursed before. I mean, as long as it's not self-serving, you know, if you have to curse, you have to curse, you know, if you have to say something
okay,
to make
gotcha.
A point. So
gotcha.
I don't care, really.
Okay, you don't give a fuck then.
No, I don't. Okay. And that's a perfect way to use fuck. So.
Well, that's a whole other subject in and of itself that I've talked about on my show. But
I know. I love that. Your anniversary, the use uh-huh. of the word fuck.
Uh-huh.
That was very good.
Oh, yes. I love that audio clip. I still want to know where that came from.
It was excellent. But, so anyway, go on.
Yeah. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So I thought I was gay. I thought I was sick and wrong, so I turned to Mormonism to cure me. And, you know, because it was right there. You know, my family wasn't really practicing it, but it was all around me, you know. Mm-hmm. And plus, you know, most of the cool people in high school were devout Mormons. So, the popular kids. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure that played into it quite a bit. There was also this girl that I was really attracted to. That added to the confusion quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How could I have all these sexual feelings towards men and want to be a girl, yet I have these really strong emotions for this other girl? It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody there to explain it to me except for the Mormon Church, which is, looking back, really scary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I figured if I was faithful and prayed and fasted and did all the things that you're supposed to do in Mormonism, it would go away. I really wanted to go on a 2-year proselytizing mission, which is what most Mormon men do after they get out of high school. However, to be deemed worthy to go on one of those missions, you have to go through a series of interviews with your local ecclesiastical leaders. And I can say this, the Mormon Church likes to know everything that's going on in your life. To advance in levels of the priesthood is what they call it, which is something that's bestowed on young men starting at the age 12. And it's just kind of like a hierarchy system mm-hmm. of acting in God's authority. And women have their own little system that's, you know, less important in Mormonism, which that's, you know, the whole patriarchal system is very strong
yeah.
in that church. I had to go through all of these interviews, and one part of the interview process is so they could deem you worthy to go on a mission. Well, I've always been a very honest person, and too honest, practically. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to open up about my true feelings, but I did kind of let out that I engaged in an activity that every boy at that age does.
And everybody knows what that activity is.
Yes, exactly. Well, I should say every boy, and I would counter probably most girls.
I'm sure.
Too. So I divulged that information, and shockingly, he wouldn't let me go on a mission.
Because
I masturbated.
Yeah.
I was deemed unworthy to go on a mission because I fucking masturbated.
Because you're truthful.
Because I was honest. And I realized, you know, hindsight's 100%. Yeah. Back then, I'm thinking, oh, am I the only guy that really does this? Mm-hmm. You know? And yeah. So instead of going on a mission, I decided to join the Army.
For 4 years. You see the world.
Well, you know, there were so many opportunities. One, college money. Mm-hmm. And two, it would give me time to get myself worthy enough to go on a mission. Mm-hmm. And three, I thought it would chase all of those girly and gay feelings away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in basic training, it did. Because you're too damn tired to think about anything.
We have a couple things here. You're a transgendered woman, mm-hmm. you're Mormon, and you're in the Army. Now, that's experiences most people in America do not have anything and do not know anything about, including myself. You know, I have no idea of what the Army's like, what it's like to be transgendered, or what it's like to be Mormon. So you're really a neat person, Rebecca.
Thank you.
So tell me, how was it in like basic training? What did you go through?
You know, my basic training was really no different than anybody else's. It was just the run-of-the-mill, get up at 4:30 a.m. and you're pretty much going until 9 p.m. that night when they turn off the lights and you have to go to sleep. And usually by that time, your body's like, thank God.
So is it really that tough?
Well, for me, it wasn't physically tough because I had ran track and field in high school and cross country. So I was pretty well conditioned. And,
okay.
You know, my upper body needed a little bit of work. But the physical part of it wasn't hard for me just because I would say I was in pretty good shape. You very rarely had a dull moment. Maybe a little bit. Sundays were usually fairly laid back. We had time to do our laundry, write letters, maybe do some reading and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the week was just go, 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 go.
So let me ask you a question about Sundays. What about religious observances? How was that in the Army with being a Mormon?
There was a Mormon chapel right. I was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And there was a Mormon chapel right outside the base. They didn't have one on base, which I'm not sure what the reasons are for that. But I was able to take a bus and go to Mormon services right outside base. And, you know, like I said, and that was the highlight of my week. It really was getting off of base to meet, just to interact. Most of the people attending the service were actually soldiers from on base, mm-hmm. you know, and then the leadership was the local leadership was civilian. But that was the highlight in basic training. So, you know, boot camp, like I said, it just you're running the mill thing. My experiences with boot camp are probably one of the few times in my life where my experiences are probably going to be like a lot of other people's.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then let's see. Yeah. Excuse me.
That's okay.
So then after boot camp, I went to Germany for 18 months. And that's where I started having time to explore myself a little bit, because all the feelings I didn't want came back, you know, and they came back even stronger because they had been repressed for a while. And to make a long story short, throughout my 4 years in the Army, I pretty much explored my issues regarding my sexual orientation. I didn't even, as far as my gender identity, I didn't even go there.
Okay.
That was pushed really. The only time that issues of gender identity, I think I even intellectually thought about, was during the time period when I was doing some research on reparative therapy.
Mm-hmm.
which I don't know if you've ever talked about reparative therapy on your show.
No, but I eventually do want to do an episode on that. So just tell us what you know from.
Well, reparative therapy is what the ex-gay ministries like to use. They claim that's the cure to make gay people straight. The premise behind reparative therapy is that a homosexual orientation comes along as a result of, get this, a misplaced gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
We're laughing about that now because it sounds retarded, but when I first read that, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, exactly.
Rebecca awakens.
No, the diva came out.
Yeah.
So the causes of homosexuality, and you know, according to them, totally fit my experience because I didn't feel adequate as a male.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an understatement now. Where reparative therapy started to fall apart in my mind was their cure. Their cure was that you needed to have healthy, non-sexual relationships with men. And I was in the Army, for hell's sakes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I actually did not have a problem with that. I developed quite a few close friendships in the Army with several guys, and a few of them I kept contact with for quite a while once I got out.
Is there a lot of sex that goes on in the Army, or no?
Well, there's a lot of people talking about it all the time.
But
mostly
doesn't happen.
From a heterosexual standpoint.
Yeah.
And for me, I was so closeted about my own feelings that the only time... And it was right around that time I spent 18 months in Germany. I would go off base to play around and experiment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I lost my virginity.
Mm-hmm.
And, also throughout that time, when I was in Germany, was the first time that I actually confessed to a local Mormon ecclesiastical leader about my perceived homosexual feelings that I had.
Oh, interesting.
Because keep in mind, I was still identifying as a male. Mm-hmm. The whole transgender issue, I didn't even deal with that until I got out of the Army. Hell, I didn't deal with that for quite a while after I got out of the Army. Mm-hmm. But so I came out to my Mormon leaders about my homosexual attractions. And, I have to say, looking back, they were always... They always opened their arms to me. You know, they opened their arms with the intent of helping me change, which is where the reparative therapy came in to play later on. But, they never, cast me aside and said, they were always very, hell, most of the Mormon bishops is what the local ecclesiastical leaders are called.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Mormon bishops are usually in their 60s or 70s. But there was this one guy, he was a German guy, because towards the end while I was in Germany, we started going to church with they mixed the military and the local German civilians together.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a German bishop who was cute as hell. So I'd be sitting there confessing my homosexual feelings while having them at the same time for him.
Oh, Ralph. Oh, Ralph. Yeah. I am 16 going on 17.
Oh, man. He was fucking hot.
I bet.
I would say he was definitely quite a bit younger than the average age for a bishop. I'd say... He had to have been either, I would say, in his 30s somewhere.
Wow.
But, oh. Anyway, so then this was a critical point for me because after 18 months in Germany, they said I was going to finish my tour in the Army in Kansas. And the reason I say that's critical because if they had allowed me to stay in Germany, I'd probably still be in.
Really?
Well, actually, I'd probably be in Iraq and or dead. But
you would have stayed in the army, you're saying?
I would have. I love Germany.
Because Germany is so great.
Yes. I did not want to leave Germany.
Are you of German descent? Like, what's your ancestry?
The ancestry that I know most about is Irish.
Okay.
The name Ney is actually an Americanized version of the name McNee, M-C-N-E-E.
Oh, okay.
So on my dad's side, there's a lot of Irish, mm-hmm. you know, that, and, you know, they've been Mormon as long as Mormonism has been around. Several of my ancestors, crossed the treks with Brigham Young from,
New York?
It started in New York. From Brigham Young took over, I think, in Illinois after Joseph Smith got killed and led them to Utah.
Oh, wow.
But, I'm whatever generation Mormon, you know, it goes all the way back.
So you're really like, you know, like daughter of the American Mormons.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like the daughters of the American Revolution. I'm a daughter of the American Mormons. Joseph Smith, he was born in New Hampshire, I think.
I'm not.
Because there's a big thing.
I'm kind of rusty on my Mormon history, which is something I truly enjoy. I love history altogether. But,
yeah.
He was born somewhere in there. And then, you know, he talked to God and Jesus when he was 14.
Yeah.
While he was out in the pasture. I'm sure there are some psychedelic mushrooms sitting right next to him, too. But
yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
I know.
As I'm chasing off your Mormon listeners.
Oh, I'm sure I have a lot of them.
I know.
I have to do a show on Mormonism. I started researching it, and I saw in Angels in America, the uh-huh. one guy, he's a Mormon, and he had this like special underwear to wear. The garments. I thought that was hot. I want to get my own special pair of underwear, Mormon underwear.
One of those Mormon celebrities on his show one time, and he was trying to get her to show him her garments.
Oh.
It's pretty much a big no-no for Mormons.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a very sacred thing for... Anyway, we're sidetracking here.
Okay, yeah. So
just a little bit.
Okay, so you're in. You go back to Kansas.
Mm-hmm. So I go to Kansas, and I'm still going through the same process. What I do is I go through about 6 months of trying to be a good Mormon. Then for 6 to 8 months, I would say fuck it, and I would start drinking and smoking, and I'd break all the Mormon rules I could, except for the sex one, because you know, finding somebody was quite difficult unless you got away from, I didn't have the problem, you know, getting off of base and finding places to get laid when I was in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Kansas, the closest place that I could go to where I knew I would find somebody was Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I think
and that's
that.
Where Sean came into the picture, person we were talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. What was it like to have your first cup of caffeine coffee? Did you feel bad?
To be honest with you, I think that the caffeine, that's one of those rules that probably gets over-publicized, that for most Mormons is really not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Yes, it's a rule. Damn. And I would say if you're on BYU campus... Mm-hmm. It's probably a little bit bigger deal than it is elsewhere, but even in Mormon circles, a lot of Mormon circles see BYU as being out there.
Yeah. Okay. See, here I thought, you know, we'd get some real, you know, dirt on being a Mormon, but okay.
But it's interesting you bring that up, because there was a while there that I did think that, you know, I remember. I always drank caffeine. I've been addicted to soda since I was a teenager.
Uh-oh.
And I still am. I got to have my Coke. Got to have my Mountain Dew.
And Tab for our diet.
Got to have my caffeine. But and that's one of those things that, it's interesting, because I remember one time when I was in Germany, I was invited over to for dinner over to the house of one of the local congregational leaders.
Hmm.
And he asked me if I wanted a Coke. I'm like, huh?
In Germany, we can, us Mormons can drink Coca-Cola.
This guy was actually American.
Oh.
but I wasn't used to that because in Utah, things are a little bit different. You know, I would say Mormons outside of Utah are a little bit more liberal than the ones in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, that depends on what area of the country you're in, kind of like with anything else.
Mm.
You know, people of all religions, at least up in the area I live, are a little bit more liberal up here than they would be, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Texas.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And of course, Massachusetts is a lot more liberal. We have a Mormon governor.
Well, Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. Oh, my God.
He's awful.
Yeah.
He's a freak. Well, he was, you know, I find it interesting that he, after being on the Salt Lake Olympic Committee, and that whole Olympic scandal that happened, which he was right in the middle of, that he could go to Massachusetts and get elected as governor.
That's how liberal we are.
I guess. I don't know what the hell's up with that.
I don't know either, believe me. But I wake up every morning and think, what state do I live in? It's terrible. Yeah.
Well, you know, even the most liberal states have got a lot of issues going on. Oregon, you know, I would say Oregon on all accounts is pretty much just as liberal as Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And my voice is going out.
Uh-oh.
And
take some water.
But yeah, there we go. There you go. That helps. Oregon is just as liberal on every account as Massachusetts, but, you know, we can't fund our schools for some reasons here.
Yeah.
So, you know, every state's got their quirks.
Yeah, that's true.
I found. But as far as I came to Kansas. I met Sean. We already talked about that. I dumped him because I go back and forth. By the time I got out of the Army, I had concluded that I was a homosexual, that I wasn't going to change, and that the Mormon Church was wrong on the issue of homosexuality. And that was big for me. And that took a lot of praying, a lot of suicidal thoughts, a lot of depression. And that was the most difficult, and believe it or not, that was more difficult than transitioning.
Mm.
It was the most difficult experience I ever went through, was to realize, after believing in the Mormon Church for all those years, to realize that the Mormon Church was wrong about something.
Yep.
I fought that and fought that and fought that idea for years and years and years. And, you know, my reality, my experiences kept telling me that, you know, there was my experience, there was what the Mormon Church was teaching, and then there was my reality. And they did not coincide. So, being the stubborn Taurus that I am, I still decided I wanted to continue interacting with the Mormon Church. So, you know, I did come out publicly to select people about 4 months after I got out of the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started having some interesting experiences that that included a three-way in the barracks one time.
Oh my God! In the Army?
It wasn't in the barracks that we lived in Kansas. The only time you live in like public barracks where you have 60 people in one room is like in boot camp.
Okay.
You know, most of the living quarters for regular Army active duty are usually like two people to a room.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll share a bathroom. Maybe you'll have your own bathroom or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a decent amount of privacy that was allowed.
Okay.
So, once I came out, I started to realize that, hey, wow, there are like queer soldiers all around me. Mm-hmm. Not a ton, you know. It wasn't, you know, with the don't ask, don't tell policy, it's not one of those things you can go, you know, waving a rainbow flag, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
throughout the base. Yeah. But, you know, so I got out of the Army and I moved back to Utah because that's where my residency was, and I had all this money for school. Mm-hmm. So that was the natural place where I was going to go. So I went back to Utah to go to school. I was, and that's when I, you know, pretty much full blown came out publicly to my family, friends, whatever, as a gay male.
Mm-hmm.
And started going to school. I was still going to church. And as a matter of fact, I went to I attended a congregation up by the University of Utah. And during every once a month, the Mormons have what is called a fast and testimony meeting, where members of the congregation can go up to the podium and share their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically sharing their beliefs of why they believe the Mormon Church is true and what have you, and just sharing spiritual experiences in general.
Mm-hmm.
Very free form type of meeting. Sometimes it can be really interesting. Other times it's boring as hell because people will get up there and just pretty much spew the same thing line for line.
Mm-hmm.
But I got up. You know, so I had came out to my local, to back up a little bit, I came out to my local bishop there. And when I came out to him in a way that was different than my other bishops. My other bishops, it's like, I have these feelings, I want to change.
Hmm.
Well, with this guy, I told him, I'm gay. I believe the Mormon Church is, while I still believe in the Mormon Church, I believe they're wrong on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to repent for it because it's who I am. As far as my sexual activities, I want to try and live by the Mormon Church's teachings as much as possible. But, you know, there's a conflict of interest there. And he just reached out to me and gave me a hug and said, I understand. I'm like, oh.
Dude, I wasn't mentioned. Dude.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, really. I wasn't expecting it either.
Well, you know, later on what I found out is that he has a gay son.
Oh.
And he ended up becoming a good friend of mine because, you know, I would meet with him on a regular basis. And he eventually divulged the information about his son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that helped me understand why he was so understanding. And what I found out... Well, see, he had his, while I was going through my own little struggle with, you know, me accepting who I was, which I, you know, now that I've accepted who I was, I needed to try and figure out what my relationship was going to be with this church that I also loved. And what I found out is he, even though he was my bishop and somebody I looked up to, he was going through the same thing. Because here's this church telling him and his wife that there's something wrong with his son. And, you know, he raised his son in every way you could, in just the perfect Mormon fashion. And his son was still gay. And was, you know, basically the Mormon Church was forcing him and his wife to choose between the church and his son. Mm-hmm. And family values for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that with other. I've heard of other Mormon gays having the same experience,
uh-huh.
And you know, they are really the best Mormons in the world, but because they're gay, they're like shunned, which is really, you know, a bad thing.
Well, and there's an organization that has been really helpful to the gay Mormon community, and it's called Affirmation,
mm-hmm.
And. The website is www.affirmation.org. This organization was pivotal in helping me come to some kind of reconcile my sexuality with my religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you still identify as Mormon at this right now?
Socially, yes, but literally, no.
Okay.
So, So what happened is I ended up becoming good friends with him and his wife. After he left his post as bishop, him and his wife really started speaking out on the subject, and they were actually featured in one of the national magazines. It was either Time or Newsweek or something about Boy Scouts, and because their son was a Boy Scout, and so that issue collided too. So they ended up becoming huge activists in the gay Mormon community.
Mm.
So, you know, my experience with the Mormon Church up until the time that I left, personally for me, was positive. I was always treated well. Mm. That fasting testimony meeting I was telling you about, I came out publicly to the entire congregation.
Wow.
And was embraced by a lot of people in the congregation. So it just comes to show that, you know, that even within very conservative churches like the Mormon Church, there's just a lot of great people.
Yeah, you're right. I've discovered that in the podcast, talking to different people and interacting and listening to various different podcasts. It's true.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great people in the Mormon Church that are doing really good things. I ended up, and this is right about the time that I started realizing, though, that my personal discovery process was not done. Because I thought if I came out as a gay man and just lived as a gay man, that the gender feelings would go away, that my gender expression would be completely fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because all gay men were kind of Nelly in one way or another, right?
Well, that's what people think, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so, throughout my experience living in Salt Lake City as an out gay man, it didn't take me long to realize that I was way off base on that thought.
Mm. Now, you said something about being Nelly. Did you act like Carson and, you know, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? Behavior?
No. My behavior, when I got out of the Army, I was about as butch as you could be.
Okay.
Because that was one of the ways that I stayed closeted, I took on a butch persona.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is the longer I was removed, and I just used Nelly as a joke.
Okay. I was just curious.
I don't think I've ever been Nelly by the Carson definition.
The Carson factor. Carson factor of five.
Oh, my God. So, you know, I was telling you about never being Nelly. I'm lying.
Sister.
I truly am Nelly. This tranny wreck radio persona. It was just, it's been such a farce. And Nelly just, so Nelly. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. You get Nell out anytime on the Flater Show. Carson 5.
That was kind of fun.
It was.
So, where was I?
Okay, you were.
Before I nellied out.
Before we nellied out. Okay.
Came
out to the congregation and...
Came out to the congregation and, you know, like I said, I was accepted in the Mormon Church until I left. And basically the reason I left the Mormon Church was by witnessing how this bishop was treated, how my friend was treated.
Mm.
Him and his wife were being treated awful by people who are in the highest levels in the Mormon Church, all the way up top, because they had connections with people. One of their relatives was what we call a general authority,
mm-hmm.
who is they're the only ones that actually get paid to minister.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only paid ministers, is the ones that work in Salt Lake building, basically.
Okay.
Everything else is done on a volunteer basis locally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and just to see how this person who I looked up to as just being a really spiritual and good and awesome and godly person, him and his wife, to see how they were treated, it kind of just sunk into me that I did not want to be a part of this organization anymore. This organization that's supposedly pro-family ends up breaking a lot of families up because of their policies and their positions.
Mm.
So, and basically what happened is once I questioned the issue of homosexuality, it was inevitable for me to start questioning everything. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in Mormon doctrine and history that doesn't add up, that I just kind of accepted on blind faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like their issue with blacks and the priesthood, and just their ideology on race.
They've recently changed that, didn't they? Like
they changed it in 1979.
Yeah, oh, well,
but that doesn't erase, you know,
yeah,
their position prior to that.
Yeah,
You know, the whole patriarchal system of how they view women. Just all of these things that I kind of had when I was a believing Mormon, I had questions about, but I just accepted. I'm like, you know, the church is true. I'll just accept it on faith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But once I started questioning one thing, I started questioning a whole bunch of things. And, to make a long story short, I'm agnostic now.
Okay. So you just don't believe. You have to, but God has to, they have to prove God exists before you.
I have found that my life is just a lot happier when I'm living my life based off of ideas that have substance. And I've found that at least while I am spiritually hungry, I cannot believe in a God that is going to punish you if you don't follow a bunch of silly rules. If I'm a good person and I'm treating other people how I want to be treated, if I'm still going to go to hell after that, then that God that's sending me to hell is an asshole.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at Kenty@theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you.